Morning, everyone, and welcome once again. Pastor Paul here. I'm going to get my Bible in hand and scoot down a little bit closer. That was some professionals learning what it is and showing off on how to pass a baton. So that's what our message is all about today. Baton passing skills. We're going to take a look at that if you'll look at the back of your bulletin. And if you're interested in using a Bible, we'd love to make sure you get one. We're in the book of Genesis. As we get ourselves situated, just inviting those who are online, you'll see the notes that will appear as well. So be ready to take notes. Want to get a quick shout out. I'm so thrilled that Lisa McCurdy is here. Lisa, way to go. Lisa, just working through some health issues, and she's strong and vibrant, and got a note from her saying, I have really taken advantage of the messages and the services online. So thank you, Lisa. Good to have you now in person. So we praise God for that as well. Want to just throw a shout out to John Craig, who we enjoy as our bass player, was not here, but he was hit by an automobile riding his bike. He's doing okay. He'll survive. He has a number of bones that have been broken. He's at a UCI in Orange, but John, if you're watching as well, we're going to pray for you while we open this message up in prayer. Would you join me? Father, we thank you for the power of your ability to heal like you're doing for Lisa. And Lord, thank you for sparing our church from sorrow by keeping John Krause alive. So we thank you, Lord, for bringing a complete healing to John. Thank you, Lord, for bringing healing to our own lives through your spoken word. And we want to thank you for the power of you to change our thoughts that we can think more the way you have for us this day. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, good morning once again. What a delightful message we have. It certainly coincides with the baby dedication that we just enjoyed, little Zoe side. So I want to invite you to find your Bibles and open it up to Genesis chapter 4. Baton passing. You can see there's a technique in doing that. Today we're going to take a look, as we have been, it's our second to the last study of Abraham. Our series is all about making a difference. And if there's anybody we could really glean from, it's from Abraham in the Scriptures and how his life has impacted not his generation only, but preceding generations, even religions for that matter. So it's interesting to note. Today, he's now old and he's a blessed man. It's time to pass on those blessings to the next generation. That's what he's all about. There's some things of skill that I think we can learn from once again and make sure that your legacy lives on long past your time here as you continue to live and enjoy your life as well. Story, true story, it was a Scottish farmer. His name was Fleming, Mr. Fleming, poor farmer. And one day as he was working, heard the screams and cries of a young child. He dropped his tools, went over and found in a mud bog a young boy who was going down. And if he wasn't rescued, he'd have an agonizing death. Fleming pulled him out, cleaned him up, brought him home, did not know who the boy was. The next day, a very fancy carriage showed up. A nobleman stepped out and said, "Sir, I want to thank you for saving my son, and I want to pay you for doing that." Well, Fleming said, "Well, I don't want your money. I would have done what anybody else would have done, just save a human life." And at that time, Mr. Fleming's little boy snuck his head up around the door jamb. And the nobleman said, "Is that your son?" And with pride, he said, "Yes, it is my son." So he said, "Well, I'll tell you what," the nobleman said, "I'll make you a deal. I will take your son and put him in the best schools London has to offer." And so he did. "If this boy is anything like his father, he'll grow up one day to make you very proud of him." So that little boy went off to school, graduated from St. Mary's Medical College in London. That man grew up to become Sir Alexander Fleming. Sir Alexander Fleming invented penicillin. That young man's invention, another time later, the nobleman's son had a severe disease, near death. And you know what cured the nobleman's son this time? Penicillin, you're right. So it's interesting to note here because that nobleman's name was Lord Randolph Churchill. The nobleman's son is Sir Winston Churchill. So if you look it up, the Churchills and the Flemings, you'll see, wow, what a great story that is. So you can see you never know what happens when you invest in the next generation. Isn't that amazing? Might even come to saving your own posterity. But we see something that's happening here is that Abraham is about to pass on and be involved in his son's future. I'm in Genesis chapter 24. And you know, when we take a look at passing the baton onto somebody else, that happens in a variety of levels, does it not? Happens in businesses. If you own your own business, who are you going to hand that off to? How is that going to look? Eventually, you have to hand it off. It can happen with regards to your own family as well. How about the office? Somebody's going to have to step in, take over your role and responsibilities. What does it look like to pass the baton off of those blessings? Make sure that that person is a success, but especially to the next generation. It was Solomon who said, "Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." I like the wise words of Socrates. He said this to his own countrymen. He said, "Why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of the children to whom one day you must relinquish all?" So it's important when we take a look and say, wow, isn't this interesting that in chapter 24 of Genesis, it's a lengthy chapter. There's 67 verses. We won't go through all of that, but I want to take a look, starting with verse 1. Let's look together. Abraham is now planning to find a wife for his son because it's time to turn it all over to him. Verse 1, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, 'Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac.' And the servant said to him, 'Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?' But Abraham said to him, 'Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, "To your descendants I give this land," he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by the well of the water at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. And then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, that Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wandered at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And so it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took the golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels of gold. And he said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please. Is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. It's a great exchange what's happening. You realize she is part of the family. Let's take a look, because there's some things, again, passing the baton. Are there some skills we can cling to and see what Abraham is doing? Verse 1, the skill of selflessness. Let's look at verse 1 again. And letter A, just to help you, you can see I've made some notes for you because we like making notes. But letter A says leadership must include a selfless sharing of resources so that the next generation can succeed, holding nothing back. So we take a look at verse 1. Let's look at verse 1 again. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Check that out just for a moment. First of all, Abraham is old. That's what it says, which means there's not enough time. He does not have much time left. Goes on, well advanced in age. He's running low on energy too. Not much time left, running low on energy. How many know it's time to pass the baton? The other thing verse 1 says, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Man, what a description. This man is not only old, he's blessed in all things. What is he going to do with those things? Well, it's time to pass it on. How? We take a look, be willing to share those things with somebody else. Passing it on is so important. So when we look here, it's worth noting, because at this stage, frankly, there are people, when they become old and blessed, they actually turn inward. They literally can say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do with my portion of the balance of my life. I'm going to tell stories, maybe play golf, join a backgammon club. And that's it. Oftentimes, to find somebody that's willing to share is really unique. But if you're going to pass that baton to the next generation, got to know and be willing to share the resources. There's a story I heard about a man who was going to be sentenced for a crime. And he came before the judge, and the judge knew this young man. Matter of fact, knew his father, famous lawyer who wrote the book, The Law of Trust. And the judge, before he sentenced this young man, wanted to somehow put the screws a little bit of pressure on him, says, "Young man," says, "I know your father. He's a good lawyer. Can you tell me how and what your father has done to help you to this point in your life?" And so the young man says, "Judge, you know my father is a good lawyer. This is what I remember about my dad. When I wanted to go before him for advice, he looked up from his table at me and said, 'Son, run along. I'm busy.' Another time, Judge, when I needed to have companionship and someone to help support me, came before him, and he says, 'Not now. Run along, my son. I need to finish this book.'" It's interesting how he shared that with the judge. And he finally said, "Judge, you know him as a great lawyer. I knew him as a lost friend." Sometimes we can lose people in our lives and the pressure that comes. And especially for fathers. Fathers are not only responsible for provision, but also to point direction for the next generation. Talk about it, passing the baton. What way shall I go? I'll figure it out, son. So it's important for us. James Dobson said this. He says, the Western world stands at a great crossroads in its history. It is my opinion, Dobson says, that our very survival as a people will depend on the presence or the absence of masculine leadership in the home. I think we're debating that in our country right now with some of the just outlandish violence and shootings that are taking place. And so when we take a look, the importance of properly passing on to the next generation, the skills necessary, we can see here. Let's go to the second one, the skill of separation. Separation. And letter A on your notes, parents, do your best to influence the children to be saved and separated, living holy for Jesus. And that's what Abraham, take a look here at verse 3. And I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell. Go down to verse 6. And Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. Now, it's interesting. Abraham has two non-negotiables. These are what I'm wanting. They're just two. I mean, if you were going to select a bride or a spouse for somebody, there are some non-negotiables. Here they are for Abraham. One is, you don't take a bride from the Canaanites on whom we dwell. These are pagan women that will influence my son. Do not do that. Secondly, do not let him go back to Mesopotamia. Now, Mesopotamia, that's a long journey for that servant. It's a 450-mile journey. By camel, it would take a month. Do not let my son stay in Mesopotamia. God took us out of that culture, which was a pagan culture. So you can see here what he's asking. The boy shall remain separated unto God. Wow. That's our point, the skill of separation. There's decisions at time that need to be made. Parents, do your best to make sure that your children are saved and separated unto the Lord. That's an important charge. Charles Spurgeon said this. He thought it was pretty helpful. He says, before a child reaches 7, teach them all the way to heaven. And better yet, the work will thrive if he learns before he's 5. Kind of fun, huh? So early on, it starts. Billy Sunday, great evangelist. Man, one of those shakers and makers of the Pentecostal charismatic movement. He was asked, what are some of those things that you might regret, seeing you've had such success in the ministry? He said, the great tragedy of my ministry is that I have led thousands of people to Christ, but my own sons are not saved. So when we take a look here, there's a principle that anybody should consider, especially when it comes to just marriage, because Abraham spent a lifetime saying, I'm now learning what it is to be separated and serve the Lord and live for God. And now I want that for my child. That's a biggie. That's a big one. Nurturing and developing him, training him. And now the extension of that belief system to be brought down to his son. And Isaac's 40. I think sometimes we all learn a little slow, right? But he's 40 at this setting. So there's a principle that still applies today. For those that say, well, I'm looking forward to marry somebody. Here it is. Write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you are going to live for Jesus, you want to make sure, not only in marriage, but how about any contract? Don't be unequally yoked. Now, that's a term. That's a farmer's term. That is a yoke that's put on two animals when working the fields and plowing. You want those animals to go in the same direction. Make sure they have like abilities, similar strengths, like temperaments. you put them in wrong directions, they're going to combat, kind of separate and go and pull apart. So you wouldn't put an oxen or a donkey together. So that's, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. One translation said in 2 Corinthians 6:14, put it this way, stop forming intimate and inconsistent relationships with unbelievers. Boy, that's pretty straight. So when we take a look, sometimes we just say, oh, what's the difference? There's a statistic that's out there, and check this one out. 40% of teenagers surveyed, Christian teenagers, said that they would date a non-Christian, 40%. 25% of Christians said, I might consider dating a non-Christian. That's 65%. So when we see what the scripture's saying, you can understand why when life's journey starts going, how they might start pulling apart. It's kind of like two contractors. I want to build. And one says, man, let's build a 20-complex condo system here. The other one says, I'd be happy with a 1,240-square-foot single dwelling. Well, you're going to have some competing values going on there. So it's important for us to recognize the skill of separation. Abraham says, non-negotiable. Don't let my son marry a pagan. And don't let him dwell in that culture. God has called us to this culture, and that's what I want to pass on to him. So it's important when we see that, pulling away from each other. Here's another verse that the Apostle Paul was talking to just married people who find that their spouse dies. This is what 1 Corinthians 7 verse 39. Please write that down, because you might help somebody that says, well, can I just marry anybody? Because I think we've all heard that, right? I can't find any good men in the church. I've heard that. We can't find any cute girls in the church. And so we got to go somewhere for that. Well, God will bring them. God will bring them. So it's always exciting. God has, you're only going to marry one person. Therefore, Lord, what is that person? And it's very simple. Very simple. God says, listen, there's just certain parameters, and here's one of them. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to marry to whom she wishes only in the Lord. Isn't that good? Go ahead and pick. You like a brunette, a blonde guy, blah, blah, blah. Make sure that person is a Christian. There are those times when we always do premarital counseling here at Hope Chapel. It's one of our prerequisites for our staff as a whole, because it's an investment into the future, regardless of how old that person or that couple is. Sometimes we modify it to fit their living structure because of maybe age or experience. But oftentimes we want to just encourage them. And we'll hear things, well, what do you have in common? Oh, we've got a lot in common. We jazz. We like dogs. Oh, we eat together a lot. But they never really bring up the Lord. It's like, well, do you pray together? You know, we're discovering that as we finish our cooking, we pray together. So there are those things in the Lord, in Christ. I know I probably nailed that one too much. Are we ready to move on? I am. Here we go. Number three. The skill of supplication. Now, I like sermons that start with the same word and letter and things like that. So supplication really is the word for saying prayers. You could say it's pass on the skill of praying. So you can see here, letter A, as a parent model, training skills of prayer and placing trust in God is so important. As a parent, model these things for children. Now, what I like about this chapter, there's a lot of prayers that are going on in this chapter 24 alone. Matter of fact, what's so unique, you can imagine this servant is traveling 450 miles. He can do a lot of praying in that time, but we do pick up, look at verse 12. We have, I think this is the second prayer in the scriptures. The first prayer is when Abraham is interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, and he's like, hey, God. Check this one out, verse 12. Then he said, this is the servant, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one. Now he's getting pretty specific, huh? Not only today, but let's roll it out this way. What a great thing. Why not? So he lays it out. And when she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And for this I'll know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened. Look at verse 15. Before he had finished speaking, that behold, here she comes. Boom. And it does say Rebecca's pretty. I'm sure that caught his attention. I think I'm going to her first. But isn't it interesting? He didn't stop his prayer, and all of a sudden, boom, just like that. Have you ever had that happen? I know you have. We've talked about that. Like you prayed that morning and boom, the job landed. Boom, the results came out. It's like, wow. And then the second thought is always a doubtful one. Isn't it just kind of like our Cro-Magnon brain? Just maybe I didn't need to pray because it was going to happen already. You know how that is, huh? Have you ever thought that? It was going to happen. I don't know if this is a result of prayer. Come on. Here we have. He doesn't even finish the prayers. And behold, it says, happened before he had finished speaking. Here she comes. And it happens just like he rolled it out. I love spirit-led prayers, spirit-filled prayers. Sometimes even just sitting quietly before the Lord. Get your comfiest chair and say, Lord, how shall I pray for this loved one of mine? How shall I pray for this future event taking place? How shall I pray? And you just listen. You might, at that time, cooperate with the leading of God's Spirit and pray and maybe even hear how it's going to come about. I love that Psalm 37, 3 and 4, to dwell in the land and feed on God's faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed in your faithfulness. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes those desires of your heart may be more God's production than your longing. Here, man, he sure prayed the exact zeroing in that needed to. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Bottom line of that, pray. And when you learn that God answers prayer, pass that baton on to the next generation. Model it. Show what it's like. It's not very difficult. Most things are caught rather than taught. So when you see somebody have a boo-boo, go ahead and pray for that little child. God heal that wound. And then apply the dinosaur Band-Aid or something. You know what I mean? It's like, they all want a Band-Aid. But it's amazing how you model those things. So we take a look at that. You know, it's really kind of interesting because this servant is Eliezer, and we know his name because back in Genesis 15, verse 2, he's probably 85 years of age. How did he know to pray that way? Eliezer, he's a Gentile. It's an amazing thing. How did he know how to pray? Again, he modeled it, saw it by Abraham. And not only that, so when it comes about the way it came about, look at verse 26. Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. That's an amazing thing. God, you did it! And he recognized it. And he bowed down and worshiped God. Where did he learn that? Abraham. That's an amazing thing. I'll often tell dear friends and acquaintances in the city, I said, man, you need to get into a good church. And I know one, Hope Chapel. But there's only two reasons why we should come into church. One is we're so banged up, we can hardly feel like we can face God or the public, but we need his presence. Get into church. Or we are so blessed, like Abraham. I'm old and I'm blessed in all things. And we can't wait to come into church to worship him. like verse 26. The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. I like that, don't you? What a great thing. Check out one other one. Look at verse 63. Slide down a little bit. We catch Isaac is praying. Let's look at verse 61. 450-mile journey. I'm sure the servant is telling Rebekah all about his master's son, Isaac. He can talk a lot about that. Verse 61, then Rebekah and her maids arose. They rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Leroi, for he dwelt in the south, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Check out for a moment. There's one word here, and it's in verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate. Now, that's not like Hare Krishna, you go out and meditate. That is, the term is basically to speak to the Lord in solitude. Speak to the Lord in solitude. Isaac's praying. Where did he learn that? From his father Abraham. That is the principle, the skill of supplication, teaching our children to pray. So, I think it's important, don't you? There's a story of a father and son, and the father is hiking up the hill, and the son, little boy, is right behind him. Dad, Dad, make sure you know I'm right behind you, and wherever you put your foot, I'm going to put my foot. Have you ever hiked with somebody, and you are not watching the scenery, you're actually watching and walking in the same footsteps? That's a perfect area, the same way that many times the next generation follows us. I remember being struck when I recognized that my dad was actually well-known. He was well-known, and he had quite a good reputation, and it affected me because I was thinking, how could I ever live up to his expectation? That's a pressure that sometimes we have to relive a little bit. You might recall when you recognized that one of your parents had quite a noble background and the pressure that that puts on you. Some people rebel and say, I'm going to just turn a different direction so I don't have to do a competition. And then later on, as I grew up, I realized, hey, my dad's got some flaws. How many know that too? That's also equally true. Like, oh man, he's not perfect, but it's important that we pass that baton. Number four, the principle of success. Let's take a look. Letter A, measure success by the standard of God's will. Doing what God wants means you are a success. Let's look at verse 7. Let's relive that. What is that principle of success? Showing and teaching that to do God's will, to obey the Lord, that's a successful life. Oh, Mark 6:36, when Jesus says, what will a man give in exchange for a soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? It's important. What is success? So we take a look here and look at verse 7. Because Abraham says success is a statement of faith. God's going to lead the way. Verse 7, then the Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, to your descendants I give this land, he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. Friends, you take a moment like that. If you've ever been in conversations like that, where somebody rises up and says, listen, God's going to take care of you, and God's going to take care of the situation. That phrase right there, this servant's going off saying, who and how, where do I begin? Don't worry. Same God that spoke to me is going before you. He'll make you successful. Just go. If you ever hear words like that and expressions like that, I'm telling you, there's such a peace over your audience or over your family. Don't worry. God's got this one. He's done it for us before. He's going to be all right. And you'll be all right. That brings such a peace, such a calm. Can anybody speak on behalf of God that he's with us? Yes, he is. That's what he's saying. He's going with you, and he's going to send the angel of the Lord. Man, check out. That encourages the servant to pray. Look at verse 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Look at that word. Give me success. When? Later? Today. It kind of emboldens people and say, I heard, and let's have that success today. He's actually praying, O Lord God. That's an amazing thing. He's praying to Yahweh, or the Tetragrammaton, the Jehovah. Where did he learn to speak about the one true God? From Abraham. Bring me success today. What a great thing as we just bring this wonderful reminder of just baton passing with what skills we need to do. Let's just bring it down to verse 67. I always like happy endings, don't you? Look at verse 67. Here we go, and then I'm going to pray for you. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Ta-da! I love a happy ending, don't you? Here it is. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. What a great reminder once again, how you care for us. And when you do, we'd love to be able to remind others you'll care for them as well. You want a relationship with us. We thank you, O Lord, for your goodness. That God, you would do a thing in our time and in our day that would bring a profound impact where we have a legacy that says, God has blessed me. He will bless you too, and here's how. So, Lord, we want to thank you for that in Jesus' name. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. We're going to sing this song, and I'm going to pray off a blessing. The three things people would say, well, how are we going to walk? In what way can we help? Let me just give you a little template. You could probably retrieve it if you'd like. But I think for all of us, first of all, it's going to be important. Let's focus on the next generation. Can you do that with me? Let's focus on the next generation. That means let's be mindful. What do you have? Who do you have that you can bless the next group of people? That includes time. That includes effort. When was the last time you visited our children's ministry? To what direction have you invested in the teens ministry? Who's going to be that one that imparts to the next generation? Third, let's pray for them. Let's pray that they are saved and that, Lord, preserve them in a holy environment that nothing corrupts and distorts them. We hear enough stories of young ladies being violated and things out in our nation. Lord, protect our young people. Help them. And may they find the right mate. Third and finally, I know you're getting it. Wouldn't it be great that we'd come along and we would walk before the next generation? What does walk mean? That means how you live, how you conduct the affairs of your life. You don't know somebody. You don't know me from a platform. You don't know the way I live my life until you kind of like enjoy doing life together. That's community. That's called a church community. And it's beautiful to be able to walk among our young people and let them know, how does a Christian act? To what degree do we bring God's presence into our decisions? Well, thanks for listening. Let's sing this song together. I'll be right back with you.
I will put my trust.
thank you for coming. And I want to thank you who are watching via live stream. I do know this, God loves each of you so much. Did you notice how beautiful the baby dedication, the parents, and you who are here to support them? Thank you for expressing that love. There's one who loves us more than anything. He gave you life. His name is Almighty God, who loved enough to give his son for you so that we could have eternal life. If you're here right now, I'm going to invite us all just to close our eyes for a moment and invite you to revisit the reality that God wants to be a part of your life. That's a wonderful gift. We never want to overlook the blessing of just saying, come and be what God has for you, for your future. And it's found in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is a power and a mystery, and it's amazing when he comes to be a part of a person's life. While your eyes are closed, if you're here this morning, say, you know what, I'm ready to surrender my life to the Lord. Could you just lift your hand up and say, that's me, Pastor, I am. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Go ahead and put those hands down. I see those three hands. Anybody else, I would say, man, I just need to recommit my life to the Lord. There's things I just need to go for. Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Okay, yep, see that? Go ahead, put that hand down. For the sake of these six hands, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you know the Lord just is just drawing you and you love him. He does love you. You're going to have a great future. Great future. The word says so. But let's just commit our lives now. A short little prayer. I'm going to lead us all in this prayer, but especially for the six hands, maybe some others, especially you who are watching via live stream. This prayer goes like this. Let's pray it together out loud. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Son of God, that you love me enough to give your life for me. And I believe that you rose again all for me. Now, dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins, things I've done wrong against you and against others. And right now, I give you my whole life. My future is in your hands. Now, dear Lord, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Let me bring glory and great success both to you and to my life now. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Can we just thank the Lord for that? I am so grateful. So grateful. I want to invite here, if we have our life group leaders that are able to come forward and just assist as we dismiss, we always invite people to come and receive prayer. So they'll be right up here in front. And you just need anything that you need. If you prayed to give your life to the Lord and you don't have a Bible at home, would you make sure there's a little welcome table with Bibles there? And you'll see it with coffee mugs as well. We always like to make sure that we network and help people to find a good landing, that parachute, that golden parachute, right? It's like, man, what took me so long to find this rad kind of existence and lifestyle? Well, let me pray that blessing. Do I have life group leaders that are up front? Can we bring them up front here? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I know we're going to have people. We had a lot come forward for prayers. Thank you. All right. All righty. Well, we're going to pray you off. We have lead meeting tonight at 5:30, a wonderful dinner, and a very important announcement that I want to make to our team members. They are our volunteers. We always honor them. So please be here, dear volunteers. Also, we want to follow through. You're going to see my presentation with Spiritual Gift of Healing. If you've not been able to be on Wednesday's seminar classes, then you're going to get a real good synopsis and wrap up of that. God is healing people in this church, and it's been very powerful, and we're grateful. Thank you. Let me pray off that blessing. Father, we want to thank you especially. It's always an honor for us to be around the Word of God and with each other. Lord, may your presence mark the occasion for everyone. May those aha moments last for many, many days for all of us. And that, Lord, especially for those who have surrendered their life to you, may even this day feel light and free. Keep them far from oppression and give them great ability to interact with you and feeling confident their life's going to be amazing moving forward. Bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. You're dismissed. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.